Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Hard Count Football Podcast. My name is Jacob Charnow, leading the next generation of football fans on the Hard Count Football YouTube channel and right here on Razzball Fantasy. Guys, it is the second week of the return of the Hard Count Football Podcast, and what better way to start than talking than me criticizing a team? Because that's what we're used to here. So let's get right into it with this. I want to talk about the 49ers. And more specifically, I want to talk about Trey Lance. Because according to Jeff Christensen, the private quarterback coach for Trey Lance, he said that Lance's throws will be more efficient and that he made a substantial jump during his spring workouts. What do we take away from this? It's his personal QB coach. Of course, he's going to hype him up. It only makes sense. But Brock Purdy just took the Niners to an NFC championship, an NFC championship game. And we know that Kyle Shanahan was in love with Sam Darnold, who didn't get to draft him, but we know that they loved Darnold coming out of college, coming out of USC, and now both of them are on the roster. Now Shanahan has both Purdy and Sam Darnold on the roster, a guy who just took them to an NFC championship and a guy who they believe in his upside. What has Trey Lance shown in the couple years that he's been in the league that makes him a significant upgrade over either of those guys? He hasn't been able to stay on the field. He's gotten injured. You know, the man has three career starts, right? He hasn't been able to stay on the field, and he hasn't been overly productive in the games that he has played. You know, he started three games besides the one he got injured in this past year. And the only team that he beat and really played okay against was the terrible Houston Texans team from 2 years ago. He is, for the sake of the 49ers, and I am not out on Trey Lance. Coming out of college, I was a big fan of Trey Lance out of North Dakota State. I liked him. I thought he had some upside. But for the sake of the 49ers, they better hope that he works out. Will he start week one? Will he be good? I don't know. But it's hard to justify. It's hard for Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, their general manager, to justify to ownership why they gave up three first-round picks just a couple years ago for a guy that they aren't going to start and possibly trade away. That feels completely ridiculous to me, and you can't justify that to ownership. So just for the sake of rationalizing that decision, I think that he is the week one starter. I don't know whether he's going to be good. I don't. Nobody does, because our sample size is so small. It's essentially like a rookie coming out of college with a ton of injuries and, you know, a little bit of experience. What we did know was that he can use his legs, which is not a surprise, but we don't know anything about his arm talent. You know, we'll see how much this Jeff Christensen guy, you know, is correct about Lance's throws, but for the sake of the 49ers, they better hope that this guy was right about Trey Lance. All right, I want to move into this, which is our main topic for today's episode, and that is which teams in both the AFC and NFC have the best chance to go worst to first in their division, and which teams have the best chance to go first to worst. And this is very interesting, and I don't think it's too early to start talking about this. So we'll start in the AFC. Worst to first, I think the team with the best chance to go worst to first is the New York Jets. And you just look at this division and this conference. The Jets were 7-10 last season after starting really hot. The obvious piece they were missing was that quarterback. They had the worst quarterback play in the league last year by far with Zach Wilson. And now that's solved with Aaron Rodgers. The roster is loaded all over the place, and now they filled their biggest hole. The thing that stopped them from making it to the playoffs last year, from possibly winning playoff games last year, is a quarterback, and now that's solved. Between Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard, Corey Davis, and Mecole Hardman, this is a much improved receiver group. If Breece Hall can come back and be anything, a shell of what he was last season, which was the best rookie in the league and would have been offensive rookie of the year had he not gotten injured in week six or whatever it was against the Broncos, this team is going to be explosive both on the ground and through the air. And even if Breece isn't what he was, They drafted Israel Abanikanda out of Pitt, who is a dog, and they still have Bam Knight and Michael Carter. Bam Knight played really solid last year in Hall's absence. Michael Carter looking for a bounce back year, but if he's going to be that third guy, he's certainly going to be a really solid three guy in the backfield for them to pick up whatever Breece Hall leaves behind. The defense last year, top five in the NFL. And if we're being honest, they only got better. They didn't lose any pieces. Hopefully they can bring back Quan Alexander because that would be a big piece for them. But they added Chuck Clark at safety, Al Woods, and Will McDonald, their first round draft pick, to this defense to fill some of those needs, especially at safety with Chuck Clark. That was a very big addition. This safety group was not good last year. Easily the biggest hole on this Jets defense. New England in this division, right? New England won't be great. The Dolphins have a huge question mark still at quarterback, whether or not Tua is going to be good. And I think it's less whether he'll be good because he was solid last year when he played, but it's whether or not he's going to be on the field because we know he contemplated retirement after last season with all those concussions. How many games is Tua really going to be able to play? We'll see. But it's a huge question mark on the Dolphins as well. Huge question mark is that offensive line. Besides Teron Armstead, none of those pieces are really that great. And I think that this Jets team is good enough to compete with the Buffalo Bills. I do. I think that they are good enough to compete with the Bills. They beat the Bills last year with Zach Wilson, and now they have a better quarterback play, better defense, better offensive line than they did last year when they played. Of all the teams in the AFC that finished in last place last season, I think the Jets have the best chance to rebound and finish first in the AFC East. For the first to worst in the AFC, you know, I couldn't really pick a team, but if we're looking at all these divisions, you know, I guess it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, I don't really like this pick. I don't like it at all. But there's no chance that the Bengals or the Chiefs finish in last place. So I guess that leaves the Jaguars. The only way that I could really see this happening is if CJ Stroud and Anthony Richardson both have like incredible rookie seasons, like one's for the books, like, and Trevor Lawrence, you know, doesn't take that next step, takes a step back, plays like he did in his rookie year. Or if Jacksonville gets crushed with injuries, because I mean, Jacksonville, like they're going to be don't take this. I think Jacksonville's going to be very good this year, and I think they even win the division. But of all the teams, I think the Jaguars actually have a better chance to make the AFC Championship than they do to finish in last place in the AFC South. Either way, it isn't a great pick. It's not even a good pick. But I guess the Jaguars are the team that have the best chance to go first to worst in the AFC. We'll move on to the NFC. So the NFC worst to first team, I put the Atlanta Falcons. I spent last week's episode talking about how I don't like the Falcons to win more than 8 games, and I think they go under their win total. But they definitely have the best chance to go worst to first simply because of how awful this division is. Besides the Saints, who I think win this division pretty easily when it's all said and done, the Bucs and Panthers are both in rebuild mode. And if Desmond Ridder can be like even okay, the Falcons have an easy schedule and could honestly win 5 games, could go 5-1 just within the division. They're going to rely heavily on the run game. We know that. They drafted Bijan Robinson early in the first round with their top 10 pick. And Arthur Smith knows a thing or two about running backs and relying on running backs from his time in Tennessee with Derrick Henry. So I could see a similar offense be rolled out this year. Ryan Tannehill looked like an all-pro in that Tennessee offense when you have Derrick Henry in the backfield. I believe in Bijan Robinson's talent. I think that he's good enough to carry this offense, maybe not in the way that Derrick Henry did, but more in a way that Nick Chubb does for the Browns. So we'll see what Ridder can do when there's not so much pressure on him and he doesn't have to make those big throws. But even if he does, I mean, the weapons are there with Drake London and Kyle Pitts, but they don't have a great defense. The division is not good. They're not good. So like, I think if Desmond Ridder can be like just okay, then the Atlanta Falcons could compete in the NFC South. But this division is so bad that the Falcons easily have the best chance to go worst to first in the NFC. For first to worst in the NFC, I mean, we'll keep it in the NFC South. I think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have, you know, probably the most, not only do I think like the Bucks are most likely to go worst to, first to worst, I think that they probably will go first to worst and finish in last place in the NFC South. They only won 8 games last year, and that was with Tom Brady. They won 8 games. They got in the playoffs because they were in the worst division in football. They finished under 500 and were in the playoffs last year. And then they got killed in their first playoff game by the Cowboys. Like, they went from, just look at this team now. They went from Tom Brady to Baker Mayfield, which is a significant downgrade. And even though I like Baker, he isn't good enough to win more games than Brady did on this same team last year. They made zero improvements to this team on offense or defense. Like, you can count their first round draft pick in Kalijah Kansi, but like, they made zero upgrades. They added nobody. They're the same team. They're trotting out the same team when both when the Saints, Falcons, and Panthers, they all improved from last year. They're all in better spots than they were in last year. There's no shot that the Bucks win this division again. They didn't improve in any position, and the defense wasn't what it should have been under Todd Bowles last year with Bowles as the head coach, and it probably will be a similar situation this year. Like, even in this terrible division, they're still the worst team and easily have the best chance to finish last. So those are my picks. I love in the AFC worst to first, I picked the Jets. AFC worst to first, pick the Jets. AFC first to worst, pick the Jaguars, I guess. NFC worst to first, pick the Falcons. And NFC first to worst, I absolutely locked in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And with that, we're going to wrap today from the Hard Count Football Podcast. My name is Jacob Charnow. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. Be sure to go follow me on Twitter right there at Jacob Charnow and on Instagram at Hard Count Football. Subscribe to the Hard Count Football YouTube channel. And of course, check out all the other amazing content from Razzball Fantasy. Once again, I appreciate you all for watching, and I'll see you next time.